Thank you so much, Steve. Before this hour is over, sometime between now and 12 o'clock, you and I will give a listener a pair of tickets to see the great Carol Burnett, who's performing at the Chicago Theater early in 2018.
And I saw her last time she came to town.
Did you?
She was awesome.
Oh, I love Carol Burnett.
She was so good.
Well, somebody's going to get tickets, Andrea. I don't know who. Nobody knows who yet. We'll figure it out later. Dr. John Duffy is here, clinical psychologist, best-selling author, podcaster for Undue Anxiety, which you can listen to over on WGN Plus. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, John. Your book, The Available Parent, you could certainly get that to somebody for Christmas, right?
You could wrap that up really easy.
He'd be happy.
Absolutely.
Happy to have it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Andy Williams tells us that this is the most wonderful time of the year, but for some people, it is not.
Right.
Hard
it's
to believe.
A dirty lie for some people.
Yeah.
This is true. Right.
Yeah.
This is a time of year where I think most of us feel the celebration and kind of get into the spirit of things. But there is a significant subset of people, a lot of whom we clinicians work with, who are deeply depressed. This is the toughest time of year for them. They're sad, sometimes anxious. That's often an artifact of having lost somebody in this past year, having lost a job, having had some significant negative life change.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just the anniversary of something that's gone wrong, that kind of empty chair at the Christmas table syndrome, you know, and what do we do about this? And do we maintain the rituals we've already had, or do we need to do something different? How do we honor what's happened?
Yes.
And then there's just the people who are lonely and alone, and it's a very difficult time of year for them. So it's important to consider kind of the all of us and what we're all going through.
All right.
Time.
So question number one, and I don't know if there's a clear cut answer for this, but if you have some sort of relationship with somebody that experiences what you just described, a seasonal depression around the holidays, is there a correct way to handle it, or does it vary from person to person?
When I talk to people, oftentimes they'll say like, oh, people drop stuff off for me. That's so nice. I wish they would knock. I wish they would sit down and talk with me. Even if it's unpleasant, even if it's not about, you know, Christmas, but it's about what I've gone through,
yeah.
I would rather talk to people than not talk to people. I'd rather hear from them.
Okay, so kind of a segue to that. My dad passed away a few years ago, and my mom, to this day, is still like, oh, you know, around the holidays. And she's a happy person, but around the holidays, and I find myself sometimes saying, well, oh, just be happy. No, it's Christmas. Just be happy. And it's so easy to kind of fall back on that. But that is that one of the worst things to say to someone who's going through a tough time, maybe for a few days or so around this?
It's probably the best intentioned worst thing to say.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
And as I hear myself saying it, like, oh, be happy. I'm like, don't say that.
Right. Well, because we all need our feelings acknowledged in the moment, right? And sometimes we're just not happy, you know, even though there's press to be happy this time of year, which I think makes it tougher for some people because everybody's happy. Every commercial suggests we're supposed to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Walking down Michigan Avenue suggests it. And yet, you know, we're just not feeling that. So to have your moment and your feeling acknowledged means an awful lot to people. And it's hard to do because we want our mothers and the people we love to be happy, you know. So it's hard not to press that and say, how you doing today, Mom? You know, like, but it just changes the discussion and probably opens it up and allows her maybe to kind of vent something and then be happy, you know?
Right.
I'm fascinated by something you just said, John, and that is that for most of the year, you know, you have your good days, you have your bad days, but come December, where everywhere you look, it's bright Christmassy colored lights and there's, you know, toys in every window, and you just say to yourself, how do I deal with this? I'm supposed to be, this is the time of the year I'm supposed to be at my best, and yet for some reason I'm not.
Yeah.
So if not so much somebody close to that person, but if you are that person, what do you do with that?
Right. Well, it's important to recognize that this is probably the time of year where there are more supposed to's than any other time of
year.
And it's difficult when you're struggling to work through the supposed to. So,
right.
So the way to deal with it is sometimes just to ask somebody who's been through something, what do you need? You know, like, because I don't know how to do this any better than anybody else. And I suspect you don't either. You
yes.
know, just because somebody lost somebody doesn't mean they're an expert in grief, right?
Right.
You know, they don't know what to do any more than anybody else does. So sometimes it's nice to know, okay, I'm collaborating with somebody. We're working through this thing together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Does this figure into it also? All of a sudden, when you get from Thanksgiving and then in through the holidays, and that includes New Year's Eve, New Year's Day possibly, you're thrown in with people that even though they're your family, that doesn't always guarantee that everybody's going to gel quite right.
No, you know? No, and that doesn't necessarily require a loss or something tragic to have happened, right? Sometimes we just have personality clashes, and we have to be prepared that, you know, this might not go exactly according to plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always encourage people who want that perfect, you know, holiday experience.
Impossible.
Let go of that, right? Yeah. You know, that is not going to happen, and embrace the imperfection of it.
Yeah.
Is it okay to say, or not, is it okay to say to someone, maybe you should talk to someone, or maybe you should see someone, or should the person decide on their own, hey, you know what, I'm so sad, I need to go see someone? Or is it okay to suggest it?
I think it's always okay to suggest it, you know, without accusation, you know. And I think it's becoming more and more okay to say that. You know, I think my profession has lost some of its taboo over the years, I like to think. So I think it's okay to say, boy, wouldn't it be nice to be able to just talk this through with somebody who's objective and can really offer you some guidance through this, because I'm so close to you. You know, your mom, for example, I'm so close to you that I don't know if I can offer the right help.
Right.
But I think we can find the person who can. That's a great idea.
Yeah. But, John, you must know people that would be offended by that, because I think that's a good thing. That's somebody caring about you saying, hey, let's try our best to fix this. But I'm sure there's people out there that would just take that the wrong way, aren't there?
Yeah, I think you might want to couch it in the reality that I don't think you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
I just think it's really hard to do this. And sometimes we just want to use all the tools at our disposal. Therapists are among those tools.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to something we talked about almost at the very beginning, and that is that at the holiday time, and Andrea told a great story about missing her dad. The first few years that my mom had been not with us anymore after she had died, very, very rough at Christmas time. And then at some point I just realized, I don't think she would want us to be sad.
Yeah.
I don't think that my mom would want us to be spending our holidays just awfully sad because we missed her. We did miss her. And that kind of turned me around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think we can probably all cite people we've lost. I've lost a couple of family members around the holidays, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I fall back on that same thought, though, that, you know, like, I don't think my brother or my father would want us to just sit here sad.
No.
You know, that certainly was never the point, right? So, and that might be kind of that push to create a new tradition that's a little more upbeat, or to spend some time telling, like, positive stories about them.
That's
and the holidays,
great.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is so great.
Or doing like a toast to them, and
right.
Oh, they would. This was his favorite holiday, or you know, whatever it might be.
Just a ritual, a moment, right?
Yeah.
You know, just so they're acknowledged and they're not forgotten. And then oftentimes the people who are closest to them can breathe and move on, knowing like, okay, that loss was acknowledged, right? We can really enjoy the moment now.
I think everybody's experienced this at some point when you have somebody close to you that has died. Especially at holiday time, you'll be in a shopping center or something, and you'll see something and go, oh, that would be perfect for my mom. That would be excellent. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So the first few times that happened to me, it really bothered me. I'm like, what's wrong with you? How could you not realize you're not getting her anything for Christmas? But then it became almost comical that I would think that way, because it's your own brain tricking you, kind
of. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, there is a lengthy lag between a loss oftentimes and the real absorption of that loss. My father, for example, I was talking to my mother this morning on the way here. My father died almost 20 years ago. And sometimes we'll talk about him in the present tense.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? We can hear his voice and we're like, well, he hasn't been, you know, he never saw an iPhone. What are we talking about? You know, and we can all kind of laugh at that, you know, like, you know, and move on. But to recognize some of the absurdity of it is kind of probably lightens the mood.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Dr. John Duffy is here. Do you have any questions? As we mentioned, it's holiday time and it's not always the easiest time for everybody. Are you going through this yourself or somebody you care about going through it? We're at 312-981-7200. Back after this, it's Bill and Andrea and on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Andrea Darlis sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Dr. John Duffy, comes by every other Wednesday. We talk about the mind, the good and the bad in the mind. It's not imaginary. At holiday time, you're getting some depression, right? I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people go through it, correct?
No doubt. A surprising number of people go through it. You can ask anybody in my field, and they will tell you that their practices are burgeoning this time of year. Probably not good news.
One of the busiest times of the year.
Really?
Yep. All right, let's go to some calls, John. Let's start out with Dan. Dan, how are you?
I am fine, thanks, Bill. How are you? I love your show.
Thank you, sir. Dr. John Duffy is here. Do you have a question or a comment for him?
a comment, John, or whatever. I started a tradition with my family years ago. My father passed away about 14 years ago, and he used to, and I never knew why until I reached the age of 21, but when we would have a holiday in our home, my father would call all the men into the kitchen. He would cut them a nice big slice of salami, the kind you have to peel the skin off or whatever, you know, good hard salami. He would pour everyone, all the men, a shot of Jameson whiskey. They would do a toast, take the whiskey, and eat the salami, because women will never buy the salami for you. That's a disgusting piece of meat. But the men love the piece of meat. So every holiday, if I have Easter or if we have Christmas, we'll have Christmas Eve. When the last person arrives, I invite all the men. I do invite the women, but they don't want to come.
Yeah.
And we all have a shot of Jameson. We raise our glass to my father. We have a shot of Jameson and a good slice of salami. And the beauty of all of that is about 15 minutes later, none of the men care what's going on.
Right? And that's just the way the women want it, Dan.
Yes.
We just want you in there.
Yep.
Yeah, the dinner can be late, the buns can be burnt, all the guys have a nice smile on their face, and you remember my father for that nice feeling, and it's a great time. And we do it every year. And so my point is, I guess if you can tell someone, start a little tradition, start a sugar cookie or a butter cookie that Mom used to make, and everyone raise a glass and have a cookie to remember Mom, and it's a nice thought.
I love
That's
that,
so
Dan.
Nice.
Everything
like
about
it.
That, yeah. I mean, and and to start a new ritual or tradition in honor of somebody you've lost, a toast in particular, like you're talking about, you can't beat that. And you can tell from the tone of your voice that it does the trick, right? It honors your father, and it kind of it warms you up enough that the women can tolerate you in the other room as well.
That's
kind of
exactly.
Dan, thank you.
Exactly, and they're welcome to go back and have another shot and a piece of salami too.
What's wrong with that?
Dan,
thank you. Have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
It actually sounds like
Bye.
A pretty good lunch.
That's exactly what you're talking about. Do something that keeps the loved one in mind, no matter what it is. You can't go wrong with that.
Absolutely, and you can almost imagine Dan's story leading to other stories about his dad, right?
Sure.
You can imagine that there's not just one toast, there might be two or three, you know, that tell little stories about what happened in the past.
Without
a
doubt.
That's so cute.
Let's go to Rhonda. Hey, Rhonda, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. You have one of these too, don't you?
I do. I was just going to say my dad died about 3 years ago, and he always had his favorite chair in the living room, a swivel chair, and we kept it there. And my mom, you know, she's getting elderly. She'll get up during the night and sometimes think, you know, I saw Dad in that chair. I know he really wasn't there, but I think it's comforting to her. And just keeping that chair around, you know, we used to, like, not want to sit in it for a while. But now we all take turns sitting in it, and she'll sit in it. But I think just having that favorite chair there is helping her get through it.
That's so cool, Rhonda. And it's always interesting to hear people tell their stories and what conjures the memories, right? So the swivel chair seems to like what it does it for your family. And that's fascinating. And it'd be interesting to know what that object is for other families that kind of bring them back to that person that they lost, you know. And I love the idea of people kind of shifting who's in the chair, you know, who gets that honor moment, you know. That's very neat.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it doesn't matter, you know, she knows he's not really there, but I think it just is a good memory for everybody.
No question about it. Rhonda, thank you so much. Very sorry about your
dad.
But have a great holiday.
Oh, thanks so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. John, my mom was a dance teacher, and every year, we always open our presents on Christmas Eve, and when the family was done opening the Christmas presents, my mom would open all the presents she received from her dance students. So usually we'd spend about 2 or maybe 3 hours opening these just god-awful gifts from her dance students. And they were just, it was one bad gift on top of another on top of another. And we all hated it, but we did it. And after she died, that was the thing that I missed the most about Christmas, was opening up those ridiculous Christmas presents. It sounds so silly, but I go, as much as I hated it, I really miss doing that.
Yeah, it was an integral part of the ritual for
you,
right?
It really was. All right, now, we haven't discussed this, but this is also a real thing. There's something called post-holiday depression.
Yeah.
You get your excitement levels up so high during the holidays, and then you just kind of crash when the holidays are over. You've seen this before, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. This happens every year, January and February. These doldrums kind of set in because we've spent this month and a half preparing for these few hours, right?
Yeah.
And then those hours pass and they're celebratory and they can be really fun. For some people, they're a little disappointing, and then it's over. And then it's like there's winter kind of looming in front
yeah.
of people. And so there's often like kind of a depression that kind of settles in the wake of that. And
yeah.
That's why we talk about things like, you know, intentions and resolutions for the new year in order to kind of fire people up for kind of getting back in the game and back into the reengaging in their lives
mm-hmm.
so that they don't settle too deep into that depression.
My mom and her friends call that hibernation, you know, because
oh, yeah.
and especially it's probably rougher here because it's so cold.
Yeah.
You can't go outside. You can't take a walk. You know, we don't see the sun as often as we do, say, in the spring or the summertime or
right.
even the fall. So is there anything that you can do to maybe... Can you go somewhere? I mean, talk with somebody, just maybe get out of the house, go exercise?
Any of that. You know, okay. I always go with anything different and anything new. So if going somewhere where it's sunny and taking a week or two, if you can afford to do that and you've got the time and the energy to do that, absolutely. But if there's something you've put off doing, and I avoid the word resolution because it's so tightly tied to January 1st
sure.
that oftentimes, you know, you're disappointed if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But just an intention or a start of something new. I'm going to get back to playing the guitar or relearn that. I'm going to get running shoes out for the first time in my life. But
mm-hmm.
starting something new in the wake of the holidays is always a really positive thing for people. And it keeps them out of that depressive mode, right? Because it kind of... One follows the other.
Let's
right.
just take the show to Florida for a
you
month.
You want to do that?
Do
I'll do that. Yeah,
just
we
like,
can
well,
go to Florida
go
for a week
for
or two. Yes.
Just grab an end
yeah.
of the desk.
That was
and...
Let's do that. Let's do that. Again, I know you avoided the word resolution, and I will too. But
yeah.
if you're one of those people who says, you know what, in the new year, here's something I'm going to do a lot more of, or here's something I'm going to do a lot less of. You see people the second week or third week in January start to kind of break that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you should give up, right?
No.
You make a mistake or two. Don't give up. Stick with it.
Absolutely. Take the judgment out of it and make your goals really reasonable. So allow for, you know, blowing it on a couple of days.
Yeah.
So if it's like I'm going to exercise, you know, 7 days a week, cut that down to four.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's 3 1 week, get back on that horse and go try it again next week. But don't look at it as a failure. You've got this intention. You're going to do something different. One bad day, one day where you don't meet that mark, shouldn't be the end of the world. Don't let it be the end of the world. No.
Solid advice. John, the podcast is always exciting. It's Undue Anxiety. You can hear that at WGN Plus. The book is available on Amazon or in bookstores, and it's available parents. Anything else? Are you going caroling? Can people book an appointment with you to hear you sing?
I may go caroling. I'll text you immediately
would
if
you
it
please?
Happens. Absolutely.
That
would
especially
be nice.
If it's in Florida.
Yeah, especially.
Yeah.
Have a great new year. Great
Thanks,
to see
guys.
You.
You do the same.
That's Dr. John Duffy. We'll take a quick break and then back to the show. Keep in mind, sometime between now and the end of our regular show that ends at 12, we have a pair of tickets to see Carol Burnett that we'll be happy to give to you. You got to work for them just a little bit. We'll get to that in just a little while.